From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes. Oh,
yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Extravaganza, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Great to have you with us today. So, I want to start out with a story out of the University of Virginia, and this really bothers me, folks. And we'll get to the big other big stories of the day, but this is one that really bothers me. There is there's a student there at the law school at the University of Virginia, and by the way, one of the most prominent law schools in the country. And people from all over the nation are trying to get into this law school at the University of Virginia. Well, our friends over at Campus Reform have the story up about the university's law students deciding to burn Old Glory. And it's not just one American flag. The University of Virginia Law School, partnering with an organization on campus called the Friends Against Fascism organization. And their plan was to host a tailgate party. Now, I'm from the South, and of course, the Southeastern Conference, which is the finest football conference in all of America. Everyone else is JV. And we know how to tailgate. As a matter of fact, nobody tailgates like the Southeastern Conference. And if you haven't been down to, for example, Ole Miss, if you haven't been to the Grove, where you have some incredible tailgate action going on, you haven't seen tailgating until you've been to a Southeastern Conference football game. I'm just saying. So I thought, oh well, this is interesting. They're holding a tailgate party. Well, and they said, well, they put out flyers, and the flyers said we're going to have burgers and hot dogs, and who doesn't love a grilled hamburger? Who doesn't love a grilled hot dog? And also refreshing beverages and camaraderie. Well, who doesn't love? I mean, everybody wants to pal around with somebody, right? Hoist a cold, frosty root beer into the air and hang out with your buds. But it also turns out that the anti-fascist tailgate is going to host a flag burning. So they're inviting people to bring their American flags and burn Old Glory on the grill. They're going to grill the red, white, and blue at the University of Virginia. Now, one of the guys behind all of this, his name is Kirk Wolf, according to Campus Reform. Patrick McDonald is the author here of the story. Mr. Wolf, a scholarship awardee and a law student. He's also a military veteran. GOP strategist Greg Price, got a hold of this flyer. They especially invited JAG officers, U.S. Army JAG officers. Any JAG office, anybody from the Army, anybody from the military that showed up at this should be immediately removed from the military. Now, it turns out Mr. Wolf is a Navy veteran, and he circulated the flyer in a law school group chat. Fox News Digital got a hold of the screenshot and the message. Wolf can be seen to explain that the planned tailgate is in response to President Trump's executive order. You may say, which executive order? Well, the president signed an executive order, and the executive order prosecutes anyone who burns the American flag. When I was at the White House, 3 or 4 weeks ago, the president gave me a pen that he used to sign that executive order. I have it downstairs in my office in our beautiful palatial news bunker. Unbelievable. Mr. Wolf telling Fox News, the president doesn't get to say what the law is. That is solely the province of the judiciary. Mr. Wolf went on to tell Fox News that President Trump is intimidating dissenters and chilling speech. Spoken like a Navy man. Mr. Wolf was recently honored as a recipient of the Pat Tillman Scholarship. Founded in 2009, supports military service members, veterans, and their spouses. and people who demonstrate exceptional leadership and commitment to public service. Now, let me get this straight here. So this guy gets the Pat Tillman Scholarship, and what does he do? He turns around and he burns the American flag at the University of Virginia? That's insane. Now, the university's responding to all of this. Campus Reform reports, Friends Against Fascism is not an official student organization. This is the statement from the university. Friends Against Fascism is not an official student organization at UVA or the UVA School of Law, and we have not received any request nor granted approval for an event of this nature. University officials are looking into the post to determine its legitimacy. If you might remember, President Trump, who loves Old Glory, the president fondly embraced Old Glory in a very intimate way. No, not that way, Dylan. I'm very intimate, patriotically speaking. He loves the flag. And he caressed the flag. I mean, we've all seen it. It was on national television. This man has nothing to be ashamed of. He loves the red, white, and blue. The president said the flag is the most sacred and cherished symbol of the nation and argues that burning it is a statement of contempt, hostility, and violence against our nation. The order also calls for immigration consequences for foreign nationals involved in flag desecration. Yeah, their butts need to be on the first plane out of here. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. And I don't care if your name is Muhammad or Lopez. Doesn't matter. You hate America, you burn our flag, you're out of here, pal. Go back to whatever third world hellhole you came from. So anyway, there you have it at the University of Virginia. There are many problems here with this, folks. And the broader issue here is what they're doing on these university campuses. Now, UVA is not some sort of a community college. This is a prominent school. And you would think that the professors on campus would be advocating for America and not against America. But clearly that's not happening anymore on most of our university campuses. And I hate to say this, but also within the realm of Christian education and higher learning, you get a lot of people that just hate this country. They do. And that is a shame. So I'm curious here, ladies and gentlemen. This guy says he's doing this. This Navy veteran says he's doing this as a way to protest and says that the only way, I mean, and his thinking is that the only way to show your true love for America is to burn an American flag. What say you? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. I'd wager a Chick-fil-A sandwich that the burgers and the dogs are made with plant-based meat. That's what I'm thinking. I'm getting a whiff of that. I don't think they're eating. I don't think this is a crowd that eats meat. I'm just saying. All right, well, we've got a lot going on today. Coming up, we're going to talk about what's happening in New York City, where they've been inundated with Muslims. And this is insane. So you've got these Islamists, and there's a mob of them, and they're marching all over New York City, and they're holding these big protest marches. They tried to storm one skyscraper. This is insanity. They held a big rally in front of Fox News Channel, and they actually said, one of the organizers actually said that we need to do what happened on October 7th. That needs to happen right here in the United States of America. I want you to listen to cut number 4, please.
We did not act enough. We did not act enough.
We did not act enough.
Repeat after me. We did not act enough.
We did not act enough.
If we acted enough.
If we acted enough.
The headline behind me would read.
The headline behind me would read.
Gaza has been liberated.
Gaza has been liberated.
So our work is not done.
So our work is not done.
We must show up.
We must show up.
Stronger than we did the first October 7th.
To
make it clear that we are not going anywhere.
We will keep fighting
until Palestine is free.
Until Palestine is free.
From
that Greta Thunberg there? From the river to the sea! Just asking. I don't know which. Has she been deported from Israel yet? I felt bad for the Israelis. Look, here's the deal. And by the way, this is just a pro tip. If you're doing one of these chants, Dylan, you were listening there, right? And it's sort of hard to follow along. You've got to keep them really short and pithy. I will say this. I will say this. That Todd Stons is a great American. That Todd Stons is a great American. But then the poor guy, he just goes on and on and on. He was like, and we will conquer the United States from California to New York, and we will wage intifada across this great land known as America, home of the infidels. And so the crowd says, and we will... They kind of got lost. It's hard to remember, right?
He's obviously never led a chant before.
No, and apparently I just texted somebody exactly what I just said by accident. Whoops, my bad. I hope that wasn't Marsha Blackburn. We were texting last night. Sorry, Marsha. So, look, we're going to get into more of this when we come back from the break. This is very disturbing here, people, and understand what's going on. You have Muslims that now are emboldened. And in Dearborn, we have seen this. If you live in Dearborn, you're being awakened at 5 a.m. to a Muslim prayer that's being broadcast on intercoms across the entire city. That's the state of affairs in Dearborn, where a Christian actually filed a complaint, went to City Hall and filed a complaint because a street was being named in honor of somebody who supported the terrorist attack of October 7th. This is what's... And what did the mayor say? The Muslim mayor of Dearborn, Michigan, told this guy, your kind is no longer welcome here. And by your kind, he meant the Christians. Yeah, the Christians are, and I'm assuming Jews, that may go without saying there in Islamic Dearborn, but the Christians and the Jews are no longer welcome to reside in Dearborn. This is happening all over America. You people in Texas, it is mind-boggling why your elected leaders, the Republican elected leaders, have allowed the Islamification of a good portion of the Lone Star State. All that to say, we got a big problem on our hands here, folks. A big problem. When you've got people standing outside of Fox News headquarters saying that, you know what, we've got to do an October 7th on American soil, that person should have been pulled down and immediately deported. That's what should have happened. But I am very concerned. I'll have more to say about this coming up after the break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Friends, here's a reality check. Your biggest retirement expense likely isn't groceries or health care. It's taxes. Add inflation eating away at your dollar, and it's easy to see why so many run out of money. Lassiter Capital helps solve that problem by giving you access to real estate investments designed to generate income, protect against inflation, and provide huge tax advantages. Founder Ty Lassiter calls it the four keys to investment success. Visit LassiterCapital.com/Starnes or call 817-912-1569 to schedule your free consultation. Ladies and gentlemen, I just have a question for you. Do you believe that Islam is compatible with the U.S. Constitution? You know, our Constitution, our founding documents, and, you know, we need to do a deep dive on this for one of the shows coming up. We will do a deep dive here. Dylan, remind me to do a deep dive on this because we need to have a very clear understanding of how our form of government came to be. And it was really through the teachings of Holy Scripture, the Old and the New Testament, that we have the country that we have. Our founding fathers were very intent on that. As a matter of fact, Thomas Jefferson, and a lot of the scholars will say, well, Thomas Jefferson was a Muslim. He was a closet Muslim. He had a Quran. Well, yeah, he had a Quran because he was reading the Quran so he could understand Islam as an enemy. We had a war. Remember that? There's a song about it. So we'll do a deep dive on all of that coming up very soon. But all that to say that here we are in the throes of what is a slow-moving Islamic takeover of this nation. And hear me, you need to pay very close attention to what's going on in New York City right now. So last night, they were marching through the streets. I mean, hundreds of them. Did they have a permit? I do not know. I don't think it really mattered, to be honest. I really don't. They shut down streets. They actually pulled out prayer rugs in front of Trump International Hotel and the Trump Tower there at Columbus Circle. If you've been to Central Park, that's the giant hotel there. You know, Dylan, I almost bought, this is an interesting side story, I almost bought an apartment there back when I was at Fox News. And it was a great price, right? It was, now this is going to sound outrageous, so just bear with me. But in New York City, it was a great price. It was like a little tiny one bedroom, maybe a studio, for $1 million. And I thought, okay, wow, that's great. You can't beat the place, right? You're right there off of Central Park. You can walk to Fox News and you're in a freaking Trump building, right? So it was exciting until I realized there was a caveat. You're only allowed to live in the building for like half of the year. And then the other half of the year, it's like rented out as a hotel room. And you get money off of that, but if it's not rented out, you don't get any money. It was the strangest thing.
So you have to pay $1 million to live there for 6 months?
That's pretty much it. Nice. So, yeah, I stayed in Brooklyn.
Smart.
But I did have a great apartment in Brooklyn. The rent there was insane. 34th floor, 12-foot ceilings. It was like $5,000 a month.
See, that's
insane.
That's a 5-foot story house here where we live. In Memphis.
Man, I'll tell you, I'm so glad to be out of that city. It's ridiculous. What were we talking about? Oh, yes. So there they were in front of Trump International Hotel. You've got the Muslims and they got the prayer rugs and they're chanting and they're waving the flags of Palestine. And they are chanting about a global intifada. Do you understand how offensive that is for New Yorkers? To see these mobs of Islamists marching through the streets. As a matter of fact, cut number 5, please. All right, so you kind of get, they're talking about Allah Akbar. They're saying that we did not do enough, that we're going to show up stronger than we did the first October 7th. The implication there is there's going to be a second October 7th on American soil, which is where they were. What, 1,200 Israelis lost their lives, many of them small children, many of them women, many of them young people. Do you understand that most of the people killed were at that music festival? So we're talking about people in their late teens to early 20s. So I'm wondering here, ladies and gentlemen, do you have concerns about the Islamification of America? And what do we do about it? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, you know me. I'm happy to fellowship with any religion that doesn't want to blow me up. We'll be right back. Nearly 2 years ago, terrorists murdered over 1,200 innocent Israelis and took 250 hostages. Today, the cries of the dead and dying seem drowned out by shouts of anti-Semitic hatred. The most brutal attack on Jewish people since the Holocaust is already fading from memory. Yet as the world looks away, a light breaks through the darkness. Christians are speaking out in love and support for Israel. United in faith, they will boldly stand with Israel this October, joining a growing movement, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, Flags of Fellowship. Flags of Fellowship unites churches all over America, planting over 1 million Israeli flags across our land. Together, we'll combat hate and the scourge of anti-Semitism one flag at a time. And through our prayers, we can save lives, bring hope, and be a part of seeing a brighter future unfold. This October, please join this historic movement by donating your flag today. Visit ifcj.org. That's ifcj.org. Yeah, Susan writing in on our Facebook live stream. Todd, I want to know what President Trump is going to do about the Muslims. He needs to deport them first. Susan also says, deport them, all caps. So Susan's pretty confident that's what needs to happen. Look, it's a problem here, folks. It is a problem. There is no assimilation, right? This is about conquering America. That's what's going on here. And I don't know what the other guys are talking about on the other talk shows. Maybe, and many people are afraid to even dip their toe into this conversation. But the reality is, if we don't have that conversation, we're going to be in a world of hurt. No doubt about it. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, we do have some breaking news to share with you.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starnes Show.
Dolly Parton is still alive. That's right, America. Dolly Parton is not dead. Wow. Last night, Dylan, I was getting text messages from people. They're like, Todd, is it true? Are the rumors true? Is Dolly on her deathbed? Jolene! Jolene! I'm like, what? I was exhausted. I went home, still trying to recover from this 3-week trip I was on, and I kept getting woken up by my phone dinging and people wanting to know about Dolly. So it turns out that her sister, Frida, who's a very lovely person, very lovely, very devout Christian, and you know, Dolly has been under the weather. And it turns out the reason why is because I guess she had a kidney stone. And, you know, there are some things you just don't want to tell people about, you know, especially if you're, you know, in the public spotlight. You know, you don't want to say, well, I got an ingrown toenail. No, nobody wants to know that. And so anyway, Dolly was dealing with something. And so Frida puts out this urgent message yesterday, making it sound as if she was on death's doorstep. I mean, people were already heading to Dollywood. They were going to get flowers and do vigils. I can only imagine what the Buckies down the road looked like yesterday. But people were, the entire nation was in a panic. So the good news is, according to Dolly's manager and Frida, Dolly is okay. Dolly is just under the weather. Well, I got to tell you, Frida, that would have been a nice sentence to include in the original message. Guys, Dolly's not doing good right now. She's a little under the weather. She's going to be fine, but she could use your prayers. I think everybody would have been okay with that. But last night, poor Dolly Parton was trending on social media. Everybody was already getting the poor Dolly Parton obits ready to go in all the newsrooms across America because that's what they do. But the good news is that Dolly is still alive. Here's what Frida had to say. I want to clear something up. I didn't mean to scare anyone or make it sound so serious when asking prayers for Dolly. She's been a little under the weather, and I simply ask for prayers because I believe so strongly in the power of prayer. Well, we do too, Frida. No doubt about that. I'm just saying, you know, just a little caveat there. Oh, jeez. It was nothing more than a little sister asking for prayers for her big sister. Thank you all for lifting her up. Your love truly makes a difference. Dolly's manager says her health issue has been blown out of proportion. So there you have it. Stand down, America. No need to rush to Dollywood. Just you're good. Well, we're keeping an eye on Dolly, but so far, so good. Jeez, Lou. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Let's go to Ocala, Florida. WOCA, Gary is on the line. Hi, Gary. What's on your mind?
Hey, just good to be back on the radio here with you. Your comment on the assimilation problem. Copenhagen, I was reading a couple articles that they have 6.5% of their population is Muslim and 66.1% of their prison population is Muslim, because they've been enforcing the assaults and the criminal offenses they're committing and actually putting them in prison. France and England struggle with that. They're so woke that their prison population isn't as high, of course, as Copenhagen, But it's 7 to 10%, like you mentioned about the community, the Muslim communities. Both of them have a tremendous problem enforcing any laws in those communities.
Gary, there are actually no-go zones. I mean, if you're in Paris or if you've been in the UK, you get to see it up close, and it's really shocking because, you know, the England that you once knew is gone. I mean, it is not there anymore. I think the number one name for newborn males in the UK is Muhammad. And when you look at the United States, the Muslim population growth here is exploding. And it's for two reasons. Number one is immigration. So Obama and Biden intentionally brought in just millions of Muslims. And number two, it's the high fertility rate. I mean, got to tell you, the Baptist and the Methodist, they're not out there having babies. They're not birthing babies. But the Muslims are. And there are projections. Are you ready for this, Gary? There are some projections that the Muslim population will more than double by 2050 and could become the second largest religious group in the country by as early as 2040. I predict it's going to be earlier than that.
Correct. I appreciate you letting me on. Thank you. Have a good day.
All right, Gary. Thank you for that. Appreciate the call. And again, it's if you want to come here and live your life and practice your faith peacefully, I got no problem with that. None whatsoever. But what we're seeing marching in the streets, when you've got thousands of people marching in New York City talking about how we've got to do another October the 7th and it's going to be bigger than the original October 7th, yeah, I got a big problem with that, especially in New York City, where we know exactly what the religion of peace is all about. We got to see that up close and personal on September 11th, 2001, when Muslims flying jetliners filled with American citizens flew into the towers in Lower Manhattan while screaming, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, and then did the same thing at the Pentagon. And then thank God that you had patriotic American citizens who found out what was going on and then stopped the Muslims from flying a jetliner into the U.S. Capitol or the White House. So nobody likes to talk about that, what really happened on September 11th, 2001, but that was jihad being waged on American soil in the name of the religion of peace. I got a problem with that. So, yeah, we need to be taking a very long, hard look. There was a moment, there was a time, and this just flew all over me. Well, after George W. Bush decided to take away our civil liberties and shove through the Patriot Act and the TSA was created, there was a time when you would go to an airport and they would basically, I don't know, in some cases get to first base, a lot of times second base with the passengers as they were feeling you up. And it was not a pleasant situation because their hands, I mean, the problem is you never know, Dylan, and I don't mean to paint with a broad brush, but let's just say that not a lot of classic beauties in TSA. And the hands are clammy. You either get super cold or super clammy, and that's just a little off-putting. Right? They don't give you a cigarette. They don't give you flowers, not even a chocolate bar.
Just move along, sir.
Just move along.
Go into this machine and raise your hands.
And then they always pull you aside after the machine. And you know what I always tell them? I'm like, because they'll pat you down and then feel you up.
Yes.
And man, a couple of times I was hitting the high notes on Amazing Grace. So you're sitting there and they're like, well, you have an anomaly. That's why they had to search you. Oh, the machine spotted an anomaly. So anyway, they pat you down and you, instead of just going quietly and walking in shame, it's like the walk of shame, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're walking home from your apartment in New York City at, 7 o'clock in the morning with the clothes you had on the night before. It's just the walk of shame to your gate. I don't do that. I always ask him, well, where was the anomaly? Well, there was an anomaly. Oh, so your machine's broken. No, the machine's not broken. It said there was an anomaly. I'm like, okay, where's the anomaly? I'm like, if this state-of-the-art equipment is supposed to keep all of us safe and is supposed to stop the bad guys, where's the anomaly? So I'm getting back around. I'm on a tangent right now. I'm bringing it back. So the point was that after George W. Bush took away our civil liberties with the Patriot Act and forced TSA on us, there was a time when they intentionally would let the Muslim passengers through so they would not be profiled. Now, let's just step back in time for a moment. It just seems to me, I'll take school shootings. I'm going to get into a little trouble here, but bear with me for just a moment. Let's take school shootings. By and large, most of the school shootings are committed by white kids, right? So it seems to me that you would want to make sure you are profiling that specific demographic when it comes to school shooters. Now, back in, I don't know, in the aftermath of 2001, there was one particular demographic that was getting on board jetliners, hijacking them, and flying them into buildings, and that happened to be the Muslims. So why would you not want to profile the people most likely to fly a jetliner into a building? It was insanity, because what that was telling us about the whole TSA thing, it was all political theater paid for by our tax dollars. And that angered me. But yes, in the aftermath of 9/11, they intentionally shied away from talking about the true motives for what happened on that day because they didn't want to offend the Islamic population. They didn't. And I got big problems with that. All right, 901-260-5926. Some guy said he and the family were there for fall break. You know, it's fall break in a lot of schools. So the parents are going down. We've got little Stearns. He's on a fishing boat, deep sea fishing, down at Destin. Dylan and I are up here working.
In this wonderful weather?
We could be down at the Gulf of America.
We could.
But so you've got all these people. So there's a guy and his family. He was writing on X and he said, yeah, look, we brought the wife, kids. We're going to hit a couple of Broadway shows, do the whole, you know, Statue of Liberty. He said he ran smack into the Muslim mob and it was like, we're out of here. Marge, get the Buick. Gas it up. We're heading back south. You can't blame the guy. So there you go. All right. Got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, I've got to tell you about our friends at Patriot Mobile. I love these guys. I mean, let's get real. You got a lot of choices for cell phone service, right? They're popping up all the time. But the truth is there's only one that actually stands in the gap for every American that believes freedom is worth fighting for, and that is Patriot Mobile. And the good news, you can actually switch to Patriot Mobile today without sacrificing quality or service. Now, some of you may be worried about coverage. Todd, I'm a conservative, but I got to have good cell phone coverage. No worry. We got you covered. Patriot Mobile, they use all three major U.S. networks. If you have service in this country today, you're going to have as good or better coverage with Patriot Mobile. And don't even worry because there's no hassle. You get to keep your number, you get to keep your phone, or you can upgrade. And by the way, their customer service team is based right here in America, and you can speak English with them, and they speak English back to you. You get activated in just a few minutes right from the comfort of your home. Go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd right now. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd, or you can call them 972-PATRIOT. Use my promo code Todd, and they're going to give you a free month of service. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd, 972-PATRIOT. Be sure to use that promo code Todd. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98, and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium My Pillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. All right, some news out of California. The Palisades Fire which just devastated that beautiful area. Been there many, many times, and just incredible scenery and views. And of course, all destroyed by the fires in Pacific Palisades. Well, now we know that the FBI has arrested a suspect. He is a 29-year-old, and the guy looks like he's right out of central casting for Antifa. His name is Jonathan Rindernecht, also known as Jonathan Rinder, of Melbourne, Florida. And he is charged with arson, setting the fire. Now, this is huge because, ladies and gentlemen, the Democrats told us from day one that this was all about climate change. It was climate change that caused the devastating fire. Climate change. Well, it turned out to be arson. But there's also another component of the story here, and the Justice Department releasing a pretty lengthy statement about what exactly happened. And there are big problems now for Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass. Faux pas there. Mayor Bass could be in hot water. And here's the reason why. It turns out that the Palisades fire was what they call a holdover fire. In other words, it was a continuation of a previous fire. And that fire, it was called the Lockman Fire. And it started early in the morning on New Year's Day, right? So firefighters went in, and they thought they had suppressed the fire, but there were not enough resources there, and that's been the big story. There were just not a lot of resources for the fire department, dealing with budget cuts, personnel shortages, the whole nine yards. So they thought they put the fire out, but no one knew that the fire was actually smoldering and burning underground within the root systems of the vegetation there in the mountains. And so 7 days later, the winds came. And again, during that entire seven-day period, not a single firefighter went back. No inspectors went back just to make sure everything was okay. And so as a result of that, the fire started, heavy winds, and boom, Pacific Palisades is gone. So a lot of people are now wondering, and of course this news just coming out in the past 30 minutes, a lot of people now wondering if the city could be held liable as a result of all of this. I mean, this is a major story now. And we'll keep you updated on the developments. All right, coming up, we're going to have a conversation with Senator Marsha Blackburn. She was one of the 8 Republican senators who were targeted by the FBI, their phones tapped, and Marsha Blackburn is fighting mad. And that is an understatement. Also, we're going to be checking in with Liz Peek, our good friend over at Fox News, and we have a lot of other special things planned for this edition of the show. Hey, I do want to remind you, and we have so many new listeners out there, welcome to you all. Head over to ToddStearns.com and check out all of our news stories, our content. We have great information for you there, and we also have some free resources for you as well. A lot of folks aren't able to listen to all 3 hours of the show. That's why we encourage you to download our podcast. It's absolutely free. You can get it on whatever platform you use, from iTunes to Apple to iHeart, but you can get that free of charge at ToddStearns.com. And also be sure to sign up for our daily newsletter. It comes out every morning, and we provide you with a lot of news and content. We don't like to overwhelm you. We don't spam you. We just give you that one email early in the morning, and you can subscribe to that free of charge. We have like almost 300,000 people that now subscribe to the Todd Stearns Show newsletter. So be sure to take advantage of all of those great resources. And someone said, what about Substack? Are you on Substack? We are on Substack, toddstearns.substack.com, and you can check out our content there. We do ask you, though, over at Substack to get a paid subscription. $5 a month gets you all of our content, which is a pretty darn good deal, actually. So, again, toddstearns.substack.com. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour 2 of the big show coming up. We'll be right back, America.
Yeah. Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, I want to give you an update here on James Comey. He appeared in court today, and I know a lot of you folks were looking forward to this day where justice, at least the start of justice being served, would happen. But, folks, this is going to make your blood boil just a smidge. So it turns out that James Comey did, in fact, plead not guilty in federal court today. But he was allowed to enter the courtroom through a side entrance away from all of the television cameras and the crowd. So a lot of people expected that Comey was going to be, you know, ushered up the steps of the courthouse in a dramatic scene out of Law and Order. But that didn't happen. Nobody saw him go in. Nobody saw him go out. The Justice Department now says they made a mistake and issued a summons for Comey instead of an arrest warrant. And they said it was an administrative mistake. They also, it also appears at this point, there will not be a mugshot. We cannot confirm that information, but I know Bannon and the other guys are talking about, they're very upset about there not being a mugshot, and there was no perp walk. So this is unacceptable. And again, it's, you know, Pam Bondi doing such a great job yesterday on Capitol Hill. Then we turn around and you botch this. Why was this man not dragged out of his home in handcuffs? They would have done it to Donald Trump. They did it to a lot of the people in the Trump world. So why not James Comey? Unbelievable. All right, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. A lot going on. There was an amazing story, just a fascinating story in the Wall Street Journal, featuring a guy by the name of Doug Wilson, and he is making headlines all across America. And here's what you need to know about him. He is the pastor of an incredible church, and he's doing a mighty work in that church, and it is causing mayhem across the nation among leftists and the godless heathens. Well, Doug is on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. And Doug, what an honor to have you with us on the show.
Well, great to be with you. Thank you.
So here's the headline from the Wall Street Journal. Douglas Wilson wants the U.S. to be a Christian republic. MAGA is listening. Did they get it right? Is that pretty much the gist of the essay?
Well, yes, they got it right. But one of the things they left out is one of the reasons MAGA is listening is because of all the press they're giving me.
Fair enough. And you are getting a lot of press. And I know that there are people, my good friend Pete Hegseth is very intrigued. And I wouldn't call him a follower, but you certainly are giving him counsel, I would say. Is that fair enough?
He is a member of the church and the denomination that I'm in. So his pastor is a friend of mine. And I'm going to be preaching at their Tennessee church. A week from Sunday, so there's connections. He's in the same denomination, and I've met him a few times, and he has followed stuff that I write. I think that's the main impact I have is through blogging and writing books.
Well, his wife back in the day when I was at Fox News Channel, his wife was my executive producer, so that's how I got to know both. Both Pete and Jen very well over the years, and just great salt of the earth people there, and you know, now that they're fellow Tennesseans, that's a great thing.
Also, even better, right?
Well, it is, and also Tucker Carlson, and the Wall Street Journal quotes Tucker, and Tucker says that you are the person most closely identified with the phrase Christian nationalism. And I think that's a good starting point for us, Pastor, because everywhere I go, people ask me, "Are you Todd Starnes, are you a Christian nationalist?" And I'm like, well, I'm a Christian and I love my country, as if that is somehow now a sin.
Right. And basically, what that means is if someone came to interview you and you said, "I'm a Christian and I'm a patriot, and I'm a Christian and I love my country," that's enough for them. They're gonna call you a Christian nationalist no matter what. And the reason I'm willing to work with that term, Christian nationalist, is that it's way better than the things I usually get called. it's something that, you know, when they say that you're a fascist or a Christo-fascist or a white supremacist or all the slanders that they can come up with. With Christian nationalism, people don't know what that means exactly, but they don't have a false conception, really. So they'll be curious, what do you mean by that? And then you can say, well, positively, I'm a Christian, and I love my country, and I want the best for my country, with best defined by God and not by the secular consensus. And then negatively, if someone asked me for my summary statement of what Christian nationalism is, I would say it is my conviction that we should stop making God angry.
I find nothing wrong with what you just said, and
right.
it does concern me. I'm just, for the sake of the conversation, I'm a Southern Baptist, and I grew up mm-hmm. in the Southern Baptist tradition with, you know, people like Adrian Rogers influencing me, and W.A. Criswell, and people of that magnitude, at least in the pastorate. And I don't know what's happening within my own denomination. It's almost as if, Pastor, I woke up one day and I didn't recognize, you know, the convention that I grew up in, the convention of churches. And I think a lot of people have been feeling the same way, that something is just wrong. And you've got a lot of churches out there that are preaching against this idea that, yeah, you can be a patriot and also be a Christian.
Right. And basically things have coalesced to the point where everybody had to decide, right? And you had to go to your respective corner. It was the external pressures in our country were such that you couldn't really say nothing anymore. You either had to reveal yourself as a conservative who wanted to actually conserve things, the way they've been, keeping what God has given us up to this point, or you had to reveal yourself as being in sympathy with the progressive left. There was no more pretense of neutrality.
You know what? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that everybody basically, it got to the point where everybody had to make their move. And it really, the last 5 years have been enormously clarifying.
How so? What do you mean by that?
Well, basically with COVID and the lockdown and all that nonsense and all the major institutions in America discrediting themselves, and people, normies, let's call them normies and grillers, you just want to mow the lawn on Saturday, and is that so wrong? people like that saw their whole world disintegrate, all the trusted institutions doing face plant after face plant, the health institutions and the military and Congress and the respected evangelical leaders who told them, yeah, I guess church isn't essential, all of that. And that has been enormously unsettling. And that means that everybody had to sort of be vocal about what the solution is. And the people who have a conservative temperament have said, we need to go back to what worked in the past, back when we trusted God, back when we were not ashamed to be known as a Christian people. That's the conservative impulse. And the progressive impulse is onward into the fog.
When you look at where we are right now and the state of Christianity in this country, there are a lot of surveys suggesting that the younger side of Generation Z is perhaps the most religious, going back to the World War II generation, the greatest generation, and that young people are flocking back to the church. But I've noticed that at least most of the attention of the news coverage is that they're moving back to like the Catholic Church or an Orthodox Church. Are you finding those surveys and polls to be accurate?
Yeah, I don't know about the aspect of going back to Catholicism, because I have certainly seen in our circles a renewed interest from young people. So, and we're about as Protestant as it gets. So I do believe that there is that interest in anything that is not woke or anything that's not DEI and anything that's not that thing that let us down. I think young people and young men particularly are very interested. So I think the Catholics are getting their attention, but certainly so are we.
Well, yeah, and I hate to say this, but even in my own denomination, I've seen where a lot of the church services now, they're almost like, you've got the American Idol pop band up there. You've got people dancing. It's just crazy stuff. And most of the sermons are pretty much self-help, you know. And I think this generation of young people, they've got some serious questions about what's been happening in this country and what's been happening in the culture. And they're looking for deep answers. They're not looking for some baby food.
Yeah, they want something that is a religion, not something that looks like a junior high pep rally. It's just they want something serious. These are serious times, and they want serious answers.
Doug Wilson is on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Tucker Carlson said, Pastor Doug Wilson is the Christian nationalist they warned you about. You know, you need that on a bumper sticker, Pastor. That's a good line. Also, the book, I want to plug the book here, Frequently Shouted Questions About Christian Nationalism. I love the book title.
Yes. People do tend to get agitated on the topic, and we've noticed. But at the same time, there are serious points, even beneath the shouting.
No, I think so, because it's almost as if, and I'm curious as to hear your thoughts on why, because there are a lot of people that we used to, I used to pal around with, and now they defriended me back when Trump got elected, and, I threw my support behind President Trump, and I'm wondering if that was the moment when people really started to show who they truly were. But I just get the impression they were trying to shame Christians out of being engaged in the political process.
Oh yeah, the cool shame is what I call it, and that is basically if you want to sit at the cool kids table, you can't do anything as gauche as voting Republican or supporting the president.
It's just shocking that it happened, and I'm glad that you are out there speaking out. Have you been surprised by just the response to people, embracing? Going back to church and getting involved and understanding that you can be a proud American and a proud Christian?
Yes, it's been a pleasant surprise. But yes, I've been there's a character in a Hemingway story who said, how did you go bankrupt? And he said, first, very gradually, and then suddenly. and if you flip that around into a good thing, I see the stirrings of a genuine revival in all this. And first, gradual indicators, first gradually, and then in the Charlie Kirk Memorial Service, suddenly, something is happening.
And I think it's a good thing for the country, don't you, Pastor?
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely, good thing.
We started the show off today with this crazy story out of New York City. I don't know if you saw the videos, but I've been very concerned. I've written a couple of books about this, just very concerned about the rise of Islam in this nation. And you had mobs of Muslims marching in the streets, chanting about global intifada. Some guy was literally standing in front of Fox News Channel, hundreds of people surrounding this guy. And he said they want to do another October 7th, but only do it better. I'm just wondering, the message from Islam, is that compatible with who we are as a nation?
No, it simply isn't. And so what people are, there's a secularist axiom or article of faith that they have, is that if we just get everybody together, if we just have enough student exchange programs, if we just have enough international food fairs, we can all get together and realize that we're all basically the same. We all think the same, even though we're different colors. But that's not how culture works. There's a radical difference between Christian culture and Islamic culture. And a single Muslim can certainly come and live in America, and he can be assimilated into an American way of life, and perhaps his grandchildren will be fully American and not very Muslim. That can happen. But there's no way you can import people by the hundreds of thousands and not have it affect everything dramatically. The way I describe it is if a family with two kids takes in two foster kids, and they were loving their two, and then they were loving their four and doing a good job. And if one day a bus from social services shows up with 28 new foster kids and they drop them off, that destroys everything. The father could say, we were loving these four kids before. But if you drop these kids off, we're not going to be loving anybody.
Hmm. Pastor, I could go on and we could spend the entire hour talking together, and we're going to have to wrap this up. But I do want to give people a great website. Where can people go if they want to get more information about your ministry and about your books? You've written, what, over 100 books?
Yeah.
Jeez, Alou.
Someone needs to make me stop. if you go to my website, dougwills.com, and open up the front page, basically there's a portal to everything I'm involved with there.
Well, I don't know if anybody said this to you, but thank you for taking a stand and being vocal and being bold and courageous. I just personally appreciate that, and I know so many of our listeners do as well. Somebody's already texted me, when is he starting a church in Memphis? Oh, goodness. Pastor, thank you again, and God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Todd.
All right. Douglas Wilson, ladies and gentlemen. Got to read that Wall Street Journal essay. Douglas Wilson wants the U.S. to be a Christian republic. MAGA is listening. All right. We're going to take your calls. Got to take a break. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right. Man, that was, we could have had Pastor Wilson. We may get him on for maybe an entire hour because there are so many of you that have questions about Christian nationalism. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I will say this, that there is no such thing as Christian nationalism. I think it's just a made-up term. But as you heard the pastor say, and he agrees with me on this, that that Islam is not compatible with who we are as a nation, and that there is nothing wrong with being a Christian and being proud of your country, being a patriot. And I like that sort of talk coming from pastors. We need more of that. When you go back to the early days of America, the founding of our nation, and you had the Black Robe Regiment, where you had pastors out there preaching from the pulpits about freedom and liberty, we need more of that in our nation. And that's what these young men especially are looking for. You know, they're not looking for the preachers in the skinny jeans trying to be cool and hip, showing up in the pulpit without any socks on. That's not moving the needle anymore. No, these younger kids are looking for substance from the pulpit. So anyway, I'm curious to hear your thoughts about this and about Christian nationalism. Our number, 901-260-5926. By the way, just want to give you an update here. FBI Director Kash Patel asked about the reason there was no perp walk today for James Comey. And Kash Patel said that they did not want to make this about political theater, and that's why they just quietly, secretly ushered the guy in. Look, I get that. That's all well and good. But the fact of the matter is they did it to Donald Trump. They did it to every member of the Trump administration who got arrested and indicted on fake charges. So I'm not satisfied with that answer. And by the way, where is the mugshot? That's what I want to see. Why haven't they released the mugshot? 901-260-5926 our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. So yesterday we were expressing our concern for our dearly departed colleague, Ben Dieter. Well, he's still alive. You see, I just pulled a Dolly Parton there, Dylan. Jeez, hello. No, Ben is still alive and well. Ben is now the press secretary for a Republican congressman up on Capitol Hill. But he took a pay cut to go and work for the government. And now he's not getting any pay at all because even though he's an essential person, he's still not getting paid. So a lot of people were concerned, and we talked sort of jokingly about putting together a care package for Ben Dieter so he wouldn't starve. And after the show, got a visit from our good buddies over at Wolf River Popcorn. Jim and the crew, it's a family-owned popcorn shop, and they do the gourmet popcorn. Folks, I am telling you, it is the best freaking popcorn in America. Unbelievable. And anyway, Jim and the crew, they brought over some Wolf River popcorn, and they said, can you please get this to Ben Dieter? We want to make sure that he's well-fed. And so we're going to do that. At least one of the bags is going to make it. I think the other may have accidentally been opened. But we're going to get that to Ben Dieter. And by the way, folks, if you want to, these people are just so wonderful, and they love our Lord. They're very involved in church in the Memphis area. Wolf River Popcorn, that's W-O-L-F, wolfriverpopcorn.com. Go and check them out. That's wolfriverpopcorn.com. I'm just going to tell you what you need to order. If you love spicy, you need to get the Memphis Mix Spicy. But I'm a classic caramel guy. That is my jam. It is the crunchiest, tastiest popcorn you will ever have. I'm going to have to send some to Liz Peek. She's standing by on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Mouth-watering, I can imagine. Hello, Liz.
And you don't even know that my fatal weakness is popcorn. It literally
is. No, is it really?
Yes. Yes, my guilty pleasure. I love it. And I can't have too much of it. So if I'm ever down your way, I will definitely go by these people's place.
Liz, it's amazing. And it's a mom-and-pop business, literally mom, dad, son, and they do a great job. But it's really, you know, that's the way it is with business in America. So we love supporting small businesses here on this program. Liz, before we get started, I had no idea that you knew anything about Bad Bunny, the Super Bowl. I'm watching your Twitter feed here.
Well, look, I had never heard of Bad Bunny until he became the Super Bowl halftime entertainment. And then, of course, there was some eruption of annoyance, fury, whatever you want to call it, from people on the right who think that his lyrics are terrible. He's anti-ICE, anti-Trump, you know, and actually my whole take on this is, why in the world do we want to divide the audience at the Super Bowl by bringing in something that half the people aren't going to enjoy, it's going to make them annoyed or whatever? I think it's so stupid. But there's an additional issue here, and it's a little bit kind of around the corner, but I think it's actually valid, which is that Bad Bunny, his whole shtick is he performs in Spanish. He's going to be performing in Spanish at the Super Bowl, which I also think is kind of absurd because this is sort of the quintessential American event. And that's fine. You know, you could be a bilingual person. He is bilingual. He speaks English fine. But the message to young Hispanics should be, yeah, Spanish is a great language. We have a great heritage. But by gosh, you better learn to speak English, because otherwise, you have no shot at the American dream. And I really think it's true. I think that educators in America for years have messed around with various policies that allow kids to learn geography in their own language. It's so stupid, Todd. All the exams, all the surveys show that kids need to learn English. And by the way, young kids are very, very adaptable. If you just throw them in the deep end of the pool, start teaching them in English, guess what? They learn overnight. But I run across so many families in New York where the kids have not been taught to speak English. And, you know, they get left behind. It's a disaster.
No, you're right. And, folks, I'd encourage you to go to Liz's website, lizpeek.com. You'll be able to read the story and see the video there. Bad Bunny sets bad example. Be sure to – what a great headline. Liz, let's talk about the Schumer shutdown. I don't see this ending anytime soon, only because the Republicans are holding their ground. They're not budging an inch. And Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer have lost their ever-loving minds here.
Well, they've lost their leadership, really, of the party. And you know, look, from the very, very outset, I said, and I think it's totally true, that Chuck Schumer is doing this because back in March when he signed on to a GOP funding bill and allowed it to pass with other Democrat senators, he got just completely scorched by the left. The left has no ideas. What they want is just to basically undermine whatever Donald Trump is doing, whatever Republicans are doing. So they are like adamant that you just stand up, you don't go along. And at that time, if you remember, a lot of liberals in the Democratic Party came out and said, well, AOC has got to primary Chuck Schumer. And by the way, there wasn't at least one poll that came out showing that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the progressive darling from New York, would beat Chuck Schumer. So he's scared to death because guess what? That's how she got to be in the House of Representatives. She took on a longtime traditional Democrat incumbent who was sort of asleep at the switch, and she beat him by basically showing up and having some energy. And I think Chuck Schumer is very afraid that'll happen to him. Every Democrat is afraid now of the progressive left. It's so horrifying to me. but that's who's in charge, and he is marching to their drummer.
Liz Peek on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Nancy Pelosi was on CNN just a few moments ago, and she actually said, she was asked, why aren't you supporting this? And she goes, well, it's not a clean CR. And Dana Bash is like, what do you mean it's not clean? What? It is a clean CR. I just think they're lost. They don't have a message, and they're backed into a corner right now. And so the question now is, how long do you think the Democrats are going to hold out?
I don't know. I think that they fastened on something that was working for them, which is making it all about health care. And, you know, I mean, there's some reality to that in the sense that they pull better always on health care than Republicans. But it's all a fiction, Todd. I mean, it's not a clean CR. Yeah, it is a clean CR. They just lie. I mean, there's a bunch of them out there saying, well, the Republicans did this. They don't need a single Democrat vote to reopen the government. That is simply a lie. And everybody knows it's a lie. Honestly, you know, if you put yourself in their place, can you imagine just sort of going out lying day after day to the American voter? I really cannot. I think it's shameful. And what they're doing is shameful. The discussion about enhanced Obamacare subsidies has actually morphed into something kind of interesting, because it turns out even the Washington Post, even anyone with a brain, knows that Obamacare was a failed program. The reason it's a failed program, to be perfectly honest, is they took away the mandate, so you didn't get that huge pool of young adults signing up for health care that spread the risk over a big pool. We have 7% of Americans on Obamacare right now. It's sinking of its own weight. And yes, these subsidies, if they expire, a lot of people are going to see huge increases in their Obamacare premiums. But remember, when this bill passed in like 100 years ago, Democrats promised that there would be reforms like tort reform, which would bring the cost of health care down. No such thing happened. No such effort was made. So, yes, the cost of health care and the cost of insurance goes up and up and up, and it's a disaster.
You know, it's fascinating watching the president sending the National Guard to cities, you know, Chicago, where I guess Brandon Johnson is ready to secede from the union. I don't know how that's going to work out. But even places like Portland, and we get to see it up close and personal. Liz, it's insane. The National Guard is not even in Memphis yet, but we have so many federal agencies, helicopters flying over, conducting these raids, arresting well over 300 people. And it's fascinating because you would think that the traditional Democrat voting bloc in Memphis, which is massive, would be opposed to this. But the only people opposed to it are actually the leaders. I want you to listen to cut number 8.
Oh. Ever since 12 and Trump done came to Memphis, I ain't heard no gunshots at night. Like, none, no switches going off, no ARP, not even no just practice shooting in the bushes. Don't need do that no more. Like, I don't know, I guess they been getting strapped up. What's happening? You don't hear no, and we walked them down, and we, you don't see none of that. Hear none of that outside no more. You can't, they putting up. All these going to 201 Poplar. I know 201 Poplar deepest. They getting the traffic tickets too. You going to jail for traffic violations now. Get your ass up in that. What? They getting everybody up in that. Hey, switch fed time. Jail. What?
So, Liz, 201 Poplar is our jail. It's true. People are literally doing the speed limit. Normally, the speed limit on our interstate here is 55. People are doing 120. Not anymore. The popo's all over the place.
I tell you what, I'm glad you interpreted that for me. I wasn't sure I really got it. Look, any sort of reasonable person is going to say, yes, I want safe streets. I want my kids to be able to go and play at night and not worry about gunshots. Being a problem. Chicago is, of course, the poster child for this. They put up with so much violence. And by the way, Todd, it's all in the minority community. 90% of these shootings are of Black people. So how is it Black voters are rallying around this idiot mayor and saying, oh, no, we certainly don't want anything to, you know, anybody, any help coming into our city. By the way, you know, it's only 100, I think it's 100 Texas National Guard who have been sent to Chicago, 100 people. It's not exactly like thousands of people stomping through the street. The whole thing is so out of control. It's so crazy. I think it's very interesting. At least you guys have a Republican governor. Illinois is like doubling down on stupid between the governor and the mayor. And they have approval ratings like in the 20s. These are not pop. Brandon Johnson literally has the lowest approval rating of any major mayor in the entire country. So I don't think what he's doing is really working. My guess is he's going to be a pretty short-term mayor.
Yeah. Well, and our governor, to be fair, he could have sent in the National Guard during, the past 7 years. So he's a Republican. Anyway.
In name only.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. He doesn't like me. That's okay. But anyway, we're glad President Trump is doing this. And I think the point is that even in places like Portland, the business owners are so grateful. They're just wanting somebody to do something. And it doesn't matter if it's an R or a D. And that's ultimately it. All right, Liz, I had no idea you liked popcorn that much. So.
Oh, my gosh. It is it's so ridiculous. Yes, it is my guilty pleasure.
I don't know if you ever get down to Brooklyn at all, but back in my old building, I lived in downtown, and it was like the first 13 floors were like a Target and a Trader Joe's. They had an Alamo Drafthouse movie theater, and it was really kind of a nice upscale movie experience, and the popcorn is just insane.
Oh, boy. Is that right?
Alamo Drafthouse.
We're seeing almost any crummy movie. I'll go.
Exactly. All right, Liz, good talking. We'll catch up soon.
I hope so. Thanks so much for having me on, Todd.
Liz Peek, everybody. It's interesting about Liz. She's one of those brilliant financial minds in America. But when you peel back the layers, she's talking Bad Bunny. She's talking Orville Redenbacher. I like Liz. She's a lot of fun. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Hey, coming up this evening, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. We have a jam-packed lineup. A lot of stuff going down today, folks. And again, want to remind you about this incredible book by our friend Lucas Miles. Pastor Miles was a very dear friend of Charlie Kirk, and he's got a brand new book out called Pagan Threat. Now, Charlie had actually written the foreword to Lucas's book, and so the final words of Charlie Kirk in the book, Pagan Threat, Charlie said in his foreword that you have to read, internalize, and share the book. It's already a number one Amazon bestseller. And by the way, now you can get Pagan Threat free. With Newsmax's special offer, you're going to save $30. Go online now to paganthreat.com. That's paganthreat.com. Be sure to read it. You're going to want to read what Charlie had to write. Paganthreat.com. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Wow, some big news coming out of Tennessee. And yesterday we told you there's a big primary in the Nashville area. And it turns out that the Rhino candidate won there, a guy by the name of Matt Van Epps. He got Trump's endorsement, but most of this guy's money came from out-of-state big-dollar billionaires funded this guy. The MAGA candidate, the America First candidate, and there are 11 Republicans running in the primary to replace Mark Green in Congress. So there are a lot of Republicans. The MAGA candidate was pretty much crushed, and that's disappointing, but there you go. What's really fascinating is on the other side. This is a district that went 20 points for Donald Trump, all right? Donald Trump won this district in huge numbers. They had just about as many Democrats come out and vote in their primary as the Republicans did, and that is incredibly troubling. But what's even more troubling is that the person who won, it turns out that she is an AOC fascist. She is a far leftist. Her name is Afton Ben or Bain. And she posted a video of herself actually stalking Tennessee Highway Patrol officers. So while that was going on, we just got word earlier today that Congressman Steve Cohen, our radical leftist Democrat in Memphis, is going to be primaried in the Democrat race by a guy named Justin Pearson. He is basically a male version of Jasmine Crockett without the eyelashes or personality. So Justin Pearson went to a private school in Maine. It cost $90,000 a year. And this guy is claiming in his press release, his campaign announcement, that it was actually raised poor. His father was a pastor, mom was a school teacher, and dad got his master's in Howard University. They were not poor by any stretch of the imagination. And again, he attended a college where it cost $90,000 a year. So Justin Pearson grew an afro, a power fro, and he talks like Al Sharpton meets Malcolm X. The guy he's insane. All that to say, he's going to win. He's going to beat Steve Cohen, no doubt about it. And when that happens, this guy will become the next congressman from Tennessee. And you are going to see the Democrat Party, and the point of this, from Nashville to Memphis, these two congressional seats, you are looking at the radicalization of the Democrat Party. It is not getting better. It is getting worse. And the fact of the matter is that Congressman Steve Cohen, the guy who showed up at a committee hearing eating a bucket of KFC, it turns out that now someone like Steve Cohen is too conservative for the new progressive radical Democrat Party. Let that sink in for a minute. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, we're heading to Alaska. Big, big political race we're going to talk about up there with Bernadette Wilson. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Hour three of the big show. Great to have you with us today. Write down our telephone number. You will need this if you want to call in. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Well, I want to go to the phone lines real quick. Kevin is listening to us in North Carolina on the great WSJS and wants to weigh in on this these two big races we were talking about at the end of the last hour. Kevin, thanks for listening, and what's on your mind?
Todd, hello, hello. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, a quick trip down memory lane. Back in the day, back in the 80s, I was stationed at Millington, the Naval Base. And we took trips into town, into Memphis on the weekend when we had a paycheck. And I remember my car broke down one weekend, and the bearings went out, and I had to stay at the Admiral Benbow Inn.
Oh.
I don't know if that,
I wouldn't be bragging about that these days.
I remember that was quite a night, but anyway, good times.
Well, back in the 70s, that was the jam, right? Some of us of a certain age will remember those days.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Back before the days of the Hilton hotels and all that. But I heard what you were saying about your local elections here in Nashville, and I hear a lot about these characters that are running and winning. And it's scary, but I don't know if nobody really talks about who is putting these people in office and who is giving them the power that they have. And I never hear about the background on the voters, the constituents. Why don't we ever talk about these people and who they're being influenced by? We just hear about the candidates and the radical ideas and their ideologies, but we never hear about the who's and why's,
right,
and how they got to where they're at.
Well, a lot of this, and especially when you look at the age groups, a lot of these folks have no money, so they're being bankrolled, and there's so much dark money that is out there. George Soros funding a lot of district attorney races around the nation. And that information's out there for people to research. I think it's really going to be important to do a deep dive. And a lot of this information is public. You just have to research it, find out who's actually donating and where the big money donors coming from, and what specific political action committees, these PACs, that are funding these far left candidates. But the Democrats are being taken over right now by these radicals. And that really was the lesson and the message coming out of those two Tennessee stories involving campaigns. Kevin, I've got to run, my friend, but it's great hearing from you, and thank you for calling in. There is major news out of the great state of Alaska. Yesterday in the Oval Office, the president approving the Ambler Road Project. And here to tell us all about that is a great American patriot. She wants to be the next governor of Alaska, Bernadette Wilson. Bernadette, good to have you back with us.
Good to be with you again, Todd. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, I know that you've been very excited about this project, and I want you to tell our listeners, what is the Ambler Road Project in Alaska, and why is it so important?
Yeah, so the Ambler Road is 211 miles. It's a 211-mile stretch where we need to go in and we need to put a road that will connect us not just to Ambler Mine, but in that area, what that road would connect to is another 1,700 active mining claims. That's how many are in that district, roughly 1,700. When you look at Ambler Road, the reason that this is so big, not just for Alaska, but for the entire country, is it stands to bring in billions of dollars into the United States economy. Just the copper alone up in Ambler is $7 billion. That's what they've estimated just the copper to be worth out of that mine. So you look at how much copper the U.S. uses, right? Whether it's on our electronics, our vehicles, I mean, just in everything you touch, right? Has copper in it. And there's copper in there, there's gold, there's zinc, there's all kinds of things that are found in Ambler Mine. And it's a project that Alaska's been trying to get online for decades. Trump started it during his first term. The Biden administration came in, shut it down. Of course, you know, I think you and I have had this conversation, but the Biden administration put more sanctions on Alaska than they did even the country of Iran. One of those sanctions was shutting down Ambler Mine, and that economic opportunity that it provides to the state, the growth that it could provide to the country is incredible. So we're very excited.
Bernadette Wilson joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And Bernadette, you're pretty active on social media. And I know there was just a forum for gubernatorial candidates in Fairbanks. And you were asked a question about the biggest threat to Alaska's economy. What is that threat?
I would argue that it's predictability, hands down predictability here in Alaska. You look at oil companies, resource development companies here in Alaska. Alaska is a resource state. Alaska has the ability, quite literally, to power the entire rest of the country for decades to come. But we have been turned into, with national bureaucrats out of Washington, D.C., they're trying to turn us into, you know, America's playground, right? We're nothing more than a national preserve, which is not at all when, you know, Alaska was purchased. When you look at when Alaska fought for statehood, we fought for statehood on the argument that we could not only provide for ourselves, but that we had an asset to provide to the rest of the country. And when you look at the resource development companies, they have been jerked around by bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. like crazy. They never know, you know, like I said, the president, President Trump, under his first term, says, hey, Ambler is a go. You get in a Democrat president who wants to lock Alaska up, and suddenly those projects are getting yanked back. And so they get thrown around like a ping pong ball, which, you know, anyone that has studied economics, that has a business at all, knows that you've got to have predictability when you're trying to decide, am I going to go invest in this particular project? Am I going to go build the infrastructure for a particular project? You need predictability. That is by far the greatest threat to Alaska's economy. And that lack of predictability, by and large, has been pushed by Washington, D.C. bureaucrats who'd like to see us locked up.
Bernadette, one of the things I really like about you, and I mean, you've got solid conservative credentials, America First credentials. You put out a statement a few days ago about the upcoming election, And the big challenge in Alaska is that you guys have what ranked choice voting, which means the top four vote getters, no matter which party they are, they go on to the general election. And the problem is, and this is a problem nationwide with conservatives, everybody wants to run and they're not playing smart politics. And so I know you've been really concerned about that, and you actually wrote a letter about all of this. What are you wanting your fellow conservative candidates to do?
I do. You know, I've made the commitment that because of ranked choice voting, if I am not the top vote getter, as you say, right now, the law of the land is top four will go on. I believe ranked choice voting was devised to defeat conservatives. And so I have made the commitment to Alaskans that if I'm not the top Republican vote getter in that primary, that I will step aside and I will support whoever is the top Republican primary winner. And I've asked my colleagues who are also in this race to do the same. The reality is this: what is at risk for the future of Alaska, what's at risk for the rest of the country, is bigger than any one of us. This is not about any individual's ego. If the conservative electorate says, this is who I want to represent us as our primary winner, then we owe it to ourselves to come together, to be unified, and to say, you know what? We are not going to allow ranked choice voting to defeat us. And the only way that it defeats us, Todd, is if we allow it to defeat us. We've got to play smarter. This is absolutely important for the state.
1,000% right. You know, and in Middle Tennessee, a congressional race, a crucial race, you had a guy endorsed by the House Freedom Caucus, America First. Trump ended up endorsing the Rhino. And you had, 11 people running in the Republican primary. It's insane. So we've got to start playing smart politics. And that's why I love what you're doing there in Alaska. Bernadette, where can people go if they want to get more information about your gubernatorial campaign?
Absolutely. BernadetteForGovernor.com is our website, BernadetteForGovernor.com. We are on just about every social media platform, whether it's X, Instagram, Truth Social, Facebook. You can find us on there, Bernadette for Governor. We are continually, literally every few days, there are videos going up on the different issues that are facing the state, different national issues that are facing Alaska that we're standing up and taking a stand on. So I most certainly encourage people to go check that out, BernadetteForGovernor.com. Lots of great information there.
All right. Well, Bernadette, thank you for joining us, and best of luck there out on the campaign trail. And congratulations. I know you've been a strong supporter of this Ambler Road project. And thanks to President Trump, it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm very excited. You know, Todd, I'd been out on the campaign trail and I'd been asking the question. I said, well, what happens if I just go build it? If I don't have the permit, how's anybody even going to know the heck that we're up there, right? It's out in this incredibly remote area. I think we ought to just go build it. So I'm thrilled that the president has done this, and you won't be finding your next governor in an excavator up there all by your lonesome.
I love that. All right. Bernadette Wilson, everybody, from the great state of Alaska. Well, there you go. By the way, I feel led of the Lord to issue a trivia question here. And we've got a copy of my latest book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. We have gotten so much positive feedback over this book. The reviews have been tremendous, and I can't thank you guys enough. But people have read the book, and they just feel so encouraged about where we are as a country. So here is the question. This is an easy question. It really is easy. In honor of Bernadette Wilson, can you tell us the capital of Alaska? The capital of Alaska, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be taking your calls and doing the trivia answer coming up after the break, 901-260-5926. Again, that telephone number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Say hello to Jessica in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Jessica. How are you today?
Hey, Todd. I'm great. How are you?
Jessica, I'm doing well. Thank you. By the way, how do you like all the federal officers? I know the National Guard's coming to town Friday. How are things going in Memphis?
You know what? We live in Midtown, and frankly, I welcome everybody. I'm not breaking the law, and, you know, I'm glad they're here to grab some of the people who are breaking the law.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, I was watching a TV report, and one of the people that lives in the Midtown area, they said it's like a whole new world. There's no gunfire. People aren't speeding around, you know, doing donuts in the streets anymore.
That's correct. That is correct. And it's frightening. I drive Poplar Avenue a lot, main thoroughfare, and cars going 80 miles an hour is very frightening. So I welcome clean streets.
Wow. Good for you, Jessica. Good for you. All right. Well, let's try to win you a copy of Star Spangled Blessings. We need to know the capital city of Alaska.
It is Juneau, and I have never been to Alaska.
Oh, hold on, Jessica. Yeah, you are correct. It is, in fact, Juneau. Well done. So, you were saying before the music came in, so you've been to Alaska?
No, I've not, and I would love to go.
Well, you know, they say, Jessica, if you're in Alaska or Canada, you cannot get to Juneau by road. You have to take, I think you either have to fly or take a boat.
Wow. Well, those little planes are kind of scary, but I'm all for the boat.
Well, I guess. I'd go for the boat, too, to be perfectly honest.
Yes.
Well, Jessica, thank you so much for listening, and we appreciate you giving us a call. Hang tight. Don't go anywhere. Dylan is going to pick up the phone, and he'll get all of your information there. So thank you for playing, and you have just won a signed copy of Star Spangled Blessings. All right, let's go to Jerry in Little Rock, Arkansas. Jerry, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. Love you, brother.
Well, thank you, sir.
Something you said towards the end of last week got me riled up. And I almost didn't hold. I just called for an update because I know I make you nervous when I get riled up there. But when you said that several Memphis police officers got calls after they left the thing with Pam and Steve Miller and Pete and were told to ignore everything they said.
Yes, they were.
And you never followed up on that. I would like a follow-up on that, if you don't mind.
Sure.
And also, these local stations that are basically doxing ICE and National Guard operations in real time, I like to think that the home branch of Stearns Nation there would be, I mean, I know we don't have time to picket, you know, TV stations because we have jobs and families and responsibilities and whatnot, but I like to think that some of the home branch of Stearns Nation there is like calling the FCC every couple of hours going, hey, this station needs to lose their license. They're not operating in the public interest. Or you could at least make a list of the people who are advertising on these broadcasts and call those local businesses and say, my shadow will never darken your door as long as you advertise on this newscast and they are doxing law enforcement operations.
Can I interrupt for a second, Jerry?
Sorry.
No, you're getting riled up, and I know where you go when you get riled up, and I don't want to have to.
Yeah, well,
so I'm just trying to cushion the blow here for a second.
Help me land, Todd. Help me land.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to help you land because I will tell you this. The bigger issue, and we'll play some audio coming up after the break. The bigger issue here is we have elected leaders, Democrats, that are openly doxing the locations of where the law enforcement officers are doing these raids. And that is extremely dangerous because it puts lives at risk. And Senator Marsha Blackburn is going to be joining us in the next segment. And she is enraged over that, Jerry. And she's actually introducing legislation because right now it's not illegal to do that. You can dox. But she wants to make it a federal crime if a government official doxes the location of federal agents.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Good. So, well, you see, I guess we did bring it in for a landing. All right, Jerry. God bless you, my friend. And I love your passion. The FCC doesn't love some of the language sometimes. So, you know, We got to be careful.
I'm sorry,
Todd. don't apologize.
Y'all start calling these businesses that are advertising on these newscasts and just tell them, I'm not frequenting your business as long as you continue this.
Well, people have to understand this is going to happen in Chicago and Portland, by the way, if it's not already happening. And it is just a dangerous thing. And I think we do have to fight back on multiple fronts. And one of those is deciding where you're going to give your business. Who are you going to watch for your local newscast? It's a fair question. Jerry, I got to run, my friend. It's great hearing from you. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Hang tight. This is the Todd Stern Show. Marsha Blackburn was a guest on my Newsmax show last night, and man, we covered a lot of ground, including this report that elected leaders are now doxing federal agents. But Blackburn was especially upset over the FBI during the Biden administration tapping her phones. I mean, this is insane. So let's take a listen to my conversation with Senator Blackburn.
Well, joining me now is one of the senators who was targeted by Jack Smith, Senator Marsha Blackburn. Senator, good to have you with us. This is just incredulous, and I'm wondering if you've gotten any word from the FBI why you were targeted.
No, that is one of the things that is very curious. And Dan Bongino and one of the teams investigating Jack Smith and Arctic Frost and the CR-15 unit that Jack was using to investigate Arctic Frost came across this and realized that they had illegally surveilled 8 members of the U.S. Senate. So after they found this information yesterday, they pulled us together. And then, of course, we held a press conference to let people know this is what had happened. But there's no reason. The commonality, Todd, is that we are all Republican. We all supported President Trump. And each of us had questions about the 2020 elections. Now, I find it very interesting that the wireless companies complied with the subpoena to release the information on the phone records for 8 sitting members of the Senate. And the general counsel for these phone companies never, I guess, didn't say, this seems odd. Maybe we should look into this. But I know that the DOJ is going to look at the grand jury testimony and the files from the grand jury, and hopefully we will know soon if it was only this one period or if the surveillance continued. What they did, and as you recall, President Trump was indicted by Jack Smith in August of 23. And then the surveillance and looking at our records began in September of 23. So this was a fishing expedition. Other than being Republican and being close to President Trump and questioning the 2020 election, those are the only commonalities. And beyond that, they really haven't told us very much.
Senator, it bothers me that Jack Smith seems to be getting off scot-free here. He was allowed to resign his post. This guy needs to be held accountable. What say you?
Oh, absolutely. He needs to be held accountable. I'm working on a letter right now to the D.C. Bar that is a complaint letter. And Jack Smith should be disbarred. Everyone who did this, it is illegal. It is a violation of our civil rights and of our privacy. It is illegal to surveil U.S. citizens for no reason, just to go tracking them, to see who they're talking to see what calls are coming in and going out and how long the phone call lasts and where the person physically is standing when they take that call. This is the kind of data that they were getting that we know about, but no, clearly illegal. Anybody who signed off on this or was a part of this, they need to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law.
And as Senator John Kennedy said, this doesn't need to go on for years and years. We need to get to the bottom of this very quickly. Do you expect that to happen?
I do indeed. I know that after they informed us yesterday that Dan Bongino and his team were going back, that they were meeting with Kash Patel. I think they're working with some there at DOJ to see if they can begin to piece this together and find out what the predicate was for the surveillance and what kind of fishing expedition they were on, because they had just indicted President Trump.
Wow. Well, we're going to be following this story. This is unacceptable, what they did here, Senator.
You're right.
And someone has to be held accountable. I want to switch gears,
Absolutely.
Though, because we've got a lot of breaking news out of, we've got a lot of breaking news here. The government shut down. Here's President Trump earlier today in the Oval Office.
Because of the shutdown, which I think they made a big mistake, we're able to take out billions and billions of dollars of waste, fraud, and abuse. And they've handed it, you know, to on a silver platter. And you know Russell Vogt, he's a serious person, very serious person, and he's sitting there and he's getting ready to cut things. And this is something that was handed to us by, I assume, Schumer. I just don't know if Schumer has any power anymore.
That's a fair question. A lot of other people are wondering the same thing, Senator. What say you?
Well, it is the Schumer shutdown. And what we're hearing is that they want to continue this shutdown through October 18th, when they have a big No King's Day rally in D.C. And Chuck Schumer wants to be able to take the stage and say, I'm fighting Donald Trump. And of course, Schumer is worried about AOC and a primary challenge. So, Todd, think about this. What he is doing is keeping the federal government shut down. Employees aren't paid. Our troops are not paid. And the president is having to make special provisions so that people that get WIC and benefits for their children, moms for children, will actually have a debit card that will swipe and the purchase will go through when they go to the grocery store this week to get food for their family. So this is Chuck Schumer's making, and he is for political gain, personal political gain. He is keeping the federal government shut down. Now, I talked to Russ Vogt yesterday, and of course, there are spending cuts that can be made. There are employees that can be fired because we are in a government shutdown. And when that happens, the power transfers to the executive branch to bring the budget and the spending into control. So we fully anticipate we're going to get many requests to move forward with these cuts.
And Senator, real quick here, we got word late today the National Guard, according to the police chief in Memphis, is expected to be in the Bluff City by Friday. We're hearing reports that some local officials are actually doxing locations of these federal assets that are already here. I want to get your reaction to that and the word that the National Guard is expected to arrive this week.
Yes, indeed. And of course, you will have the full complement of 13 state and federal agencies in Memphis. As you've seen, the Memphis Safe Task Force, they have made 321 arrests of gang members since last week. That brings us to a total of over 800. Now, there was a Shelby County elected official who on her Twitter account put out the location of where there was federal law enforcement, doxed their location. I printed off that and I held it up at the committee meeting today. She has since deleted that posting, but how dare an elected official for Shelby County try to dox federal elected officials. This is why I have the bill that would make that doxing a federal crime. At this point, it is not a federal crime to dox a law enforcement officer in the line of duty. It only is a crime if they are working undercover. My bill extends it to all law enforcement officers. And how dare a local elected official dox federal officials who are there enforcing the rule of law and are stopping criminals? You look at the murder rate that has happened in Shelby County. You look at the carjackings, and you've got an elected official who is trying to protect criminals and hurt the police, the law enforcement officers. It is disgusting.
Well, Senator, we're going to have to leave it there. I can tell you the people of Memphis really appreciate your efforts here, yes, working with President Trump to bring the National Guard. I know you're running for governor of the Volunteer State, and you'll be pleased to know you won a major straw poll in Memphis over the weekend. So a lot of fans here in this part of the state.
Thank you so much. It is an honor to serve, and I am so pleased we were able to get Kash Patel, President Trump, and A.G. Bondi to get the resources to Memphis.
Do people still go to the all-you-can-eat buffets? Is that still a thing? You know, back in the day, you had, Shoney's, I think, back in the day, that's way back in the day. Shoney's they used to have a great breakfast buffet. Everybody loved going to Shoney's for the breakfast buffet. And then Wendy's, Dylan, you may not remember these days, but back in the day, Wendy's actually had like an Italian buffet, they had a taco buffet, and then they had a salad bar.
Wendy's?
Wendy's.
How long ago was this?
Oh, this was, I don't know, back in the 90s, I guess, when all this was going down.
I just missed it.
So your great-grandfather, we were the grandkids, and Wendy's, a brand-new Wendy's had opened up, and we had never been to Wendy's, and we were so excited. So we go there, and Pawpaw was a frugal guy. He was a frugal grandpa. And so we got the Wendy's single, right? You get the single and the fries, and they said, would you like a soft drink or a Frosty, right? And so Pawpaw said, no, well, you can either have, it's not and, you can either have a Coke or you can have a Frosty. And we were trying to explain to him the difference that the Frosty is actually a dessert.
Yeah.
And he didn't go for that.
It's an or, it's not an and.
And then so I pushed back and I tried to make my argument. And then he said, well, here's the deal. How about water? And I'm like, I'll have the Frosty.
There you go.
Because you got to dip the fries, right? You got to dip the fries into the Frosty. And that's what makes it. It's the salty and the sweet.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, even Wendy's had a buffet back in the day. But I was just wondering, you know, because everybody's now food conscious and they're like freaking out because some people literally just dig their hands. They don't even use the tongs. They like use their fingers as like utensils to get food out of the buffet.
I try not to think about it. But I mean, I go to the Chinese buffet. I don't know if that counts.
Our Jackson, Tennessee affiliate, WTJS in Jackson, they have a great buffet, the Old Country Buffet. And I think that's the name of it. It's at the Casey Jones Village. But anyway, the reason I ask this is because, you know, back in the day, you had like a Golden Corral or Bonanza, Ryan's, which was kind of like the upscale of the buffet movement. And then there's still a few others out there. I don't know if any of these are even still in business. But anyway, there's a big story out of Florida. Chaos broke out at the Golden Corral, Dylan. A woman refused to leave the all-you-can-eat buffet. She claimed to police, according to the body cam footage, that she was just getting her money's worth. Dylan, she was at the all-you-can-eat buffet for more than 3 hours.
Well, she's just abiding by what they say. All you can eat.
Staff said the woman kept going back for dessert, even after closing time, and told the workers, it's all you can eat, not when you say stop. This is true. Some restaurants have even taken to rewording that, all you care to eat.
Yeah.
Instead of all you can eat.
Because they think that someone will eventually stop. But there are a select few that deserve their face on a poster board inside the restaurant, not kicked out.
No, I completely understand. It turns out that police were called. They had to call the popo. And they, the police, and like multiple police officers, I'm loving it, they've surrounded the woman. It turns out she had locked herself in the bathroom with a plate of fried shrimp. Oh, God, that's terrible. And they finally escorted her out of the bathroom. And she was arguing that freedom includes free refills. And she's being shoved out of the restaurant. But she's like trying to make her argument with the police. And she's got her plate of food. She was really hungry. And I'm shocked here because I genuinely thought that this woman would be, you know, pushing the scales at, I don't know, 450, 500 pounds. I'm just saying.
I'm on her side.
Yeah?
Yes.
Why not? It's all you can eat. But once they turn the lights out, I mean, you've got to, you know, they're shutting down the restaurant. The people have to go home.
Shouldn't say all you can eat then.
Well, it shouldn't say all you can work. So you're standing by this woman. You think she did the right thing?
Yes,
here.
I'm on her side. I think she should have a membership card for life. All you can eat forever.
You know the manager. You know the worst day for an all you can eat, you know, restaurant like that, buffet restaurant, is when you've got five or six 450 pounders coming in.
Yeah.
You're losing money on losing money that day.
Bad day to be an all you can eat.
Bad day to be a shrimp. I'm just telling you, that's not good at all. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, Katie Porter, we're going to have to save this for tomorrow. Katie Porter is running to be governor of California, and she did a sit-down interview yesterday. I think we've got time to play this. I want you to listen. This is a friendly reporter. Take a listen to Cut 2.
So on election night, I went to pick up my daughter from water polo practice, and she's 12, and she got in the car and she was crying.
Okay,
and I said, "Did someone punch you?"
Let's stop. All right, let's go to cut two, and let's see if we can't listen.
What do you say to the 40% of California voters who you'll need in order to win, who voted for Trump?
How would I need them in order to win, man?
Well, unless you think you're going to get 60% of the vote. You think you'll get 60%. Everybody who did not vote for Trump will vote for you. That's what you're saying.
In a general election, yes. If it is me versus a Republican, I think that I will win the people who did not vote for Trump.
What if it's you versus another Democrat?
I don't intend that to be the case.
So how do you not intend that to be the case? Are you going to ask them not to run?
No. I'm saying I'm going to build the support. I have the support already in terms of name recognition. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to do the very best I can to make sure that we get through this primary in a really strong position. But let me be clear with you. I represented Orange County. I represented a purple area. Mm-hmm. I have stood on my own two feet and won Republican votes before. That's not something every candidate in this race can say. If you're from a deep blue area, if you're from LA or you're from Oakland, you don't have an experience.
But you just said you don't need those Trump voters.
But you asked me if I needed them to win.
So you don't.
I feel like this is unnecessarily argumentative. What is your question?
The question is the same thing I asked everybody, that this is being called the empowering voters to stop Trump's power grab. Every other candidate has answered this question. This is not
argumentative. And I said I support it.
So, and the question is, what do you say to the 40% of voters who voted for Trump?
Oh, I'm happy to say that. It's the do you need them to win part that I don't understand. I'm happy to answer the question as you have it written, and I'll answer it.
And we've also asked the other candidates, do you think you need any of those 40% of California voters to win? And you're saying, no, you don't.
No, I'm saying I'm going to try to win every vote I can. And what I'm saying to you is that...
Well, to those voters. Okay, so you...
I don't want to keep doing this. I'm going to call it. Okay. Thank you.
You're not going to do...
So anyway, it goes on. But the reporter was not being adversarial. She actually had a point here because in California, they do something called a jungle primary, where you have to have those Trump voters because you could end up having a Democrat versus Democrat in the gubernatorial election. So we'll talk more about that tomorrow and what's happening in California. Folks, it's been a wild day. We're going to see you tomorrow, tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Tomorrow, noon Eastern on the radio. Get out there. Be good, America.